It's time for the SVU After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking Season 19, Episode 20, Book of Esther. We're going to talk about Esther. We're going to talk about her creepy father. And we're going to talk about Amanda's sadness. Stick around!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello and welcome to the SVU After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. If you haven't already, go to YouTube.com and look for AfterBuzz TV's drama channel. That's where we live in the drama. Welcome. We're talking Season 19, Episode 20, Book of Esther. I'm Yael Teagle. I'm joined with the dancing Taylor Gates.
Like always. Hi, guys. I'm Taylor Gates.
I love that when we do the show, it doesn't matter who my co-host is, they dance to this as though it's like a catchy dance
song. It is. Play it in the club.
It is such a good song. We're jumping in. Before we jump into Book of Esther, I'd like to remind everyone of the RAIN hotline. The National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-4673, which spells HOPE. 1-800-656-HOPE. 4673. Boom. I did my due diligence. You have the number. Now, before we talk about Esther, because I got stuff to say, I'd like to remind everyone that sometimes the topics on the show get real dark, and when it gets dark, we like to bring in the light. This is your trigger warning, and if you have been in any situation, if you have been held hostage, this might not be the episode for you.
That's a good point.
Great. Okay, so thank you. I'm actually really excited about this episode because of the story that it's ripped from the headline, and we will tell you all about that later, as well as some news. What did you think of this episode overall?
All right. So.
Yes.
Unpopular opinion, but I found it to be, like, the slightest bit boring for, you know, like, the first maybe half. Like, I thought, like, Act 2 especially just kind of was, like, just dragging along a little bit. It felt a little slow.
Okay.
But you know what? That twist at the end just made up
the
for
bullet
all
twist?
Of it. Yes.
Ugh. Okay. So I'm similar to you that I thought it was also kind of boring, especially because the real story that it's taken from is so crazy.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I was like, I don't know. I feel like there was more that could have been done.
Yeah. I think I wanted, like, the incest stuff, I wanted that to be, like, played out, like,
right?
They,
yeah,
like, barely, they were like, oh yeah, he's keeping everyone hostage and they're inbreeding, and I was like, we're not gonna talk about that, like, we're
it's
not gonna,
just like a detail, like, yeah, a minor detail
inbreeding. No, I really want to get into that.
I agree.
Because what? Yes.
Like, this is some Riverdale Cooper Blossom, yes, stuff going on here.
Spoilers for anyone who's not caught
so
up on
sorry.
Riverdale.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, yikes.
Okay, so we meet our girl, Esther. We see her escaping. She runs and she gets on the train.
Yes.
And on the train, we meet one of our favorite characters.
Love her. The sassy train conductor with, like, the really heavy accents. It's just like, hey, open up. This is the last stop. Which she didn't sound anything like that.
But I was like, I don't think that was the accent.
I don't even know what that was. It was, like, Australian and Jersey. It was bad. It was very bad.
Australian Jersey.
Yeah.
The Jersey Shore
the
of
classic
Australia.
Australian Jersey accent.
Yeah, I really liked that she was, like, banging on the door. And then when she, like, was like, all right, I'm coming in, I was like, at this point, call security.
Yeah, like, you just have a random, I don't know.
Right, I think, in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm a train lady. I don't know where her job is. The lady works on the train, and somebody's locked in there. I'm going, oh, it's a homeless person who, like, has set up,
yeah,
camp. I'm going to get security to remove them.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what
she
does.
She's going in.
She's like, I'm going in.
I love her. I want more of her.
She goes in. We see Esther, who looks like crap.
Yeah.
That feels like a fair assessment.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, props to the makeup team, because they made her hair look, I need to take a shower,
yes,
now, just because, oh.
Yeah, I agree. Her hair looked terrible.
Yeah.
And this actress is Rebecca Kennedy, and I looked her up, and she is very cute, and when she's washed, she looks,
yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, when she's groomed.
Yeah. Even just her hair, like, clearly was just washed.
Right.
It looks so nice, and she's a very pretty girl.
Yeah.
And they made her look disgusting.
And she's actually 27.
Oh, I didn't look.
I don't know. I think I looked her up last night, and she was 27.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I mean,
she's
an adult.
She does look younger, though.
Right. So, anyway, we take her, well, Rollins coax her out of the bathroom
with candy,
like her
fake
dog.
Razzles or something. I was like, what candy is that? And they were like, Razzles or something.
What are
like,
Razzles?
You know what Razzles are?
No.
These are like an old candy. They're like, they look almost like little circular Lego type things.
Ew. I thought it was M&M's. I just literally thought it was
M&M's. I think they said Razzles, and I was like, that's clearly, it's like when they try to make Facebook like
face chat or something.
Yeah, face.
They always mix up Facebook and MySpace to make face space.
Love it.
No, but she's like, this is how I get Franny out. Like, Franny's her dog, everyone, if we forgot. This is how she gets the dog.
That line. This is how this it works with Franny. Yeah, works and with Finn's Franny. Like, Franny's your dog.
I was like, I don't know why. Oh, Razzles.
Razzles.
For those who aren't seeing it, Razzles are a real thing. First it's candy, then it's gum.
Yeah.
Wait, so this girl was not being given fake these because she'd choke on them.
But it's like they're soft once they're in your mouth for a second.
Right, but then
I can't believe you haven't had Razzles.
No, are these a thing in California? These are
they're like the old candy. That's the thing. It was like,
where did she get them?
I don't know. Some candy store. I have so many questions.
Why is she carrying
around this crap? Someone in the chat thinks it was M&M's. Okay,
thank you.
She said it was peanut M&M's. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, because it was a yellow bag.
It looked like it says Razzles. I'm going to investigate.
That's fine.
This is going to be another what's in the bowl debate.
Here's my thing also. Sorry to harp on candy here. But, like, you don't just give a stranger something with peanuts because they
this
might.
Is a good
like,
point.
Peanuts is a big allergy that everyone has. Everyone.
That's
everyone's
a really good
allergic.
Point. You are truly a detective.
I'm such a mom. I'm like, you can't give her peanuts. What if she's allergic?
What if she's allergic?
Okay. So anyway, Amanda gets her to come into the house. The girl quotes the Bible a lot. I got real frustrated with it.
Why?
Because I'm not a fan of Bible quotes.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, it fleshed out her character. Not fleshed out, but just like
gave
reinforced.
Her an interesting part to her.
Yeah. Reinforced the fact that
yes.
Her family's a little cray cray.
A little bit. And then every time Amanda tries to talk to her about being raped or having sex or whatever, she panics because they take her to the hospital and they're like, we want to do a rape kit. We're getting close to her because the needle. I was like, knock her out. What is this?
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean? Like, give her something. She'll fall asleep. Do what you need.
That's true, because she was eating all the food. Like, yeah. You easily could have slipped something in.
Right.
It. This is a really good point. You should be a writer for the show. You think it through.
Thank you. I've been told that. Also, I come up with really messed up things to do to people.
Like, what else qualifies you? There you go.
So she's at the hospital. They don't do a full exam, but they do check her blood. Right?
No, because she's
oh,
scared
no,
of needles.
They can't do the needles. But they swab her mouth, which she freaks
yes.
out about. Why?
Because the Q-tip. I don't know. I think that are they scared of, like, medical things, too? Did her family ingrain? Because they ingrained that technology was bad, maybe.
Yes. Here's a question about technology being bad. Her family does not have a phone. Yet, correct me if I'm wrong, her mother saw her picture on the news? Or her mother saw it in a newspaper.
Maybe a newspaper.
Because I'm taking it to the chat. Because I could have sworn
chat.
That her father was like, oh, her mother saw her picture on the news. Or on TV or
what
something.
What a glaring plot hole if that's true.
Yeah. Because she's like, they don't have a phone.
Listen, we're not doing flip phones. We're not doing those fireflies. But TV, whatever.
Right. No, we can't even have a landline.
But TV's fine.
But TV is fine. Okay, so we take her to the play, to the squad, and they ask her questions, and the semen is a familial match, but not her father.
Maybe a brother or her uncle. That's what Finn said. I'm just quoting him.
I know. I didn't like that.
Why not?
I don't know. I feel like it should have been. See, it felt like a plot that, like a storyline that they just dropped.
Yeah, I feel that.
Who was it?
Yeah,
that's
who
what
was
it? Because if it's,
I need a part two.
Yes.
I need a Book of Esther, a part book two.
Book two.
Yeah.
Book of Esther's death.
Book of Esther's revenge.
Yes.
Book of Esther the remix.
Nice.
Guys, we have all the episode names for you already.
Yeah. So give us a second one. Well, it's probably one of the dead brothers.
Probably.
Yeah.
Make it my best guess.
The whole thing felt underdeveloped. Because when her father comes in and he's like, she's not a child, and they're like, we can't keep her. I was like, then she can decide whether she wants to go.
Yeah.
If she's not a child, then he doesn't have the right to be like, give me my daughter back.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, though, because it's just that she's so mind-controlled. Like, she's so brainwashed by him.
Well, I get when she was like, I just want to go, let me go.
Yeah.
I understood that. But before that moment, he came in and was like, give me my daughter.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, we need to investigate. And he's like, she's not a child. The then response should have been, well, then you have no right. Like, then she'll be, yeah. We'll release her when she's ready.
Yeah. Yeah,
then true. Go away. She is an adult. You are an adult. Leave.
Let's just talk about how freaking creepy he was, though.
Okay, so that actor is Ray McKinnon. And
Ray.
I looked up, because I was like, there's something familiar about him, but he seems odd. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's played a lot of creepy guys, but also when he's, like, clean-shaven and his hair is cut short, he looks like just an awkward nerd.
Okay.
He's very, like, versatile in his face.
Depends. But he's typecast as a creepy guy.
Well, I think when they let his hair grow out and give mm-hmm. him facial hair, he looks creepier.
Okay.
And he totally, like, he did. He looked very creepy.
Yeah, he did.
So I just, I so much props and respect to this man.
Yeah. I thought all the acting was really good in this episode.
Well.
No?
The mom.
Oh, okay. I was just primarily right now talking about Esther and him.
Esther and him were great. Really good. Yeah, the mom felt like a waste, and the other kids were weird.
A little bit.
Like, the
brothers...
They didn't
really get much
of it.
Well,
the brother came in with the gun and the long hair. I was like, I don't know that your father would allow long hair. Like...
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're not hippies.
Maybe. You're really we don't know religious. Anything about yeah, like, this cult.
But, like, they were, like, very traditionalist.
Yeah. But also, like, not. Also just real weird.
Yeah. I would have liked more about, like, what their rules
I
are.
I agree.
I wanted more from this episode. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, me too.
It was a great foundation.
Right. It just, the pacing was, like, slow. And if they would have sped it up a bit, I think they could have stuffed more weird things in it.
It's funny because the second half where they go to the house and Amanda sees the little girl, after that point I went, we just sped up real fast.
Right. It was an odd pacing.
Yes. So Amanda's not taking no for an answer. I love when she's like to Benson, I need a mental health day.
And Benson's like, okay.
Because I appreciated that. That's Benson being Benson. You know
right.
what I mean? Because she would pull the same thing. This felt like classic Benson behavior.
Yeah, it did. It truly did.
And I loved that.
The whole thing too, even when she's like hugging her and like taking her to the ambulance, I was like, it's Olivia part two right
and,
now.
And, like, not letting it go and, right. and going through the house. Before we get into the little Rachel being chained up by the neck, which, as much as I don't like kids, I did not like that.
Oh, no. It reminded me of that the merchandise episode, I think it was called, where everyone's, like, being hidden underground and chained up.
You have
little
to be more
kids.
Specific.
I just remember it's called merchandise, and I remembered that scene. And they're being... fed that poison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what it was, but it was crystal something. It wasn't crystal meth, though. It was like some crystallized something.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like kids, but I'm not a fan of chaining them by
the
neck like a dog.
That's good. That's healthy and like
Thanks.
Not being
Thanks,
a
everyone. I'm not crazy. let's talk about the first house that we go to.
Okay.
Because we meet my favorite character of the episode, that nosy
neighbor. Nosy male lady?
Yeah.
She's great.
But she was like, you can't, that's a federal crime. And she's like, I'm a cop. She's like, oh, well, in that case.
Oh, come inside. And you can just see Rollins' face just like, am I really having to interact with this woman?
Yeah.
Love it.
I liked her a lot. But we go into this first house that they're still paying rent on.
Yeah, I don't know.
So weird. Also, like, the landlord does not have the right to just enter.
Yeah.
Right? So when he, like, knocked and no one answered, I was like, that doesn't give you the right to open the door.
Oh, no one's answering. Let's go on in.
Right. I get that you're the landlord, but, like, I'm pretty sure you have to give 24-hour notice, if not a few days. Well, maybe laws are different in New Jersey.
Everything is legal in New Jersey.
Yeah. Incest is not, illegal in New Jersey?
In Queens, it's a felony, though, they said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Thanks.
Pretty sure it's illegal in California. Also, pretty sure that is a recent thing.
That's crazy.
Like, I'm pretty sure I remember it becoming illegal in California when Schwarzenegger was governor.
What?
So recent.
That's pretty disturbing.
Yeah. Anyway, so they go into this gross ass house.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what episode it reminded me of, but that house reminded me of an episode.
Maybe they just used the same location.
They were like, oh, listen, we didn't, no one cleaned this out.
We're not scouting a new one. We're going to use this one again.
And they go through and it's disgusting. And then there's a dead rabbit. And I was like, really? That's it?
Yeah, that was so weird. I was like, okay. Dead rabbit.
Yeah, I was like, what else? What other dead bodies do you find?
Just a dead rabbit.
Disappointing.
Disappointing.
Yeah. So they find the forwarding address. Rollins goes and she's snooping around the house. That felt so Benson to me.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the episode with Hayden Panettiere when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And Benson kept coming back to check on her.
Yeah.
Even after she was like, there was a restraining order.
Oh, that's such a weird episode.
Such a good episode. But, like, it reminded me of that behavior that Benson used to have, where she wouldn't let kids go.
Yeah. But she goes in there, and the kid's like, Mommy, Mommy. And Ron's like, oh, it's fine, it's fine. What do you think's going to happen when you, a strange woman, is, like, entering this house with a three-year-old?
Yeah.
Like, of course she's not just going to be like, oh, hey, what's up?
Right.
She doesn't know you.
I agree. And then when Esther comes out to tell her to stop crying, I was like, no, Esther, you come down and you go, are you okay?
Yeah.
This girl is chained by the neck.
Yeah.
You ask stop if she's crying. Okay. Yeah.
Give it up. Give it a break.
I know that you haven't been fed in 2 weeks.
But
get
like,
over
stop
it.
Crying.
I know you can't sleep because there's a chain around your neck. Boo hoo.
Okay, so was Esther that girl's mom?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's what I don't know. I don't know why I thought that. Because I know she said mommy and then Esther came. But I was like, oh, maybe, like, she is her kid.
I would have liked it. This is going to sound odd. But on SVU, it's fine. I like it when it turns out that one of the babies being raised as siblings is the child.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah? Like, I would have liked it if one of the babies...
Ew. Oh, what?
Let's not ever do that. That was gross.
I didn't even know we had that sound in the board.
I did not like that one bit. But I like when the baby belongs to the kid.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why I was like, maybe they should have just kept it.
Yeah.
That way.
So creepy. That sound really bothered me.
I love how that's what bothers you about this show.
I'm literally describing how the daughter should be the mother of her.
Ew. A baby cry?
Ew. Gross. Okay, so let's talk about the shootout, because the shootout was ridiculous.
No, rewind.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about the bowling sweatshirts.
Okay.
I don't know. That was so unsettling.
And that is straight from the headlines, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yes. It was so creepy. They all bowled one frame. And they each got half a hot dog.
Yeah.
The details of that just really just shook me up.
I think it was very interesting that they kept pointing out that his behavior was not out of poverty.
Yeah.
That, like, he didn't buy them only 5 hot dogs because he couldn't afford it.
He did it because he's the worst.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
Yet he could afford... individualized
2 houses and individualized sweatshirts.
Like, that's where my head was, like, because they didn't all say the same thing. They each had a different
numbers, yeah,
which meant that he had to buy, like, oh, number 1 has to be this size, number 2 has to be this, like,
he really had to go personalize it.
That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And those coats that they had, which I skipped that whole part because you know, because that didn't lead us anywhere. It that was even anywhere. Weirder that, like, we got the name of a guy who bought 3 coats, and then that we never, like, looked into that because he showed up.
Yeah.
The dad showed up. So, like, why was that a necessary step?
I don't know. It's a dead end. I also just want to talk about the line when they were in the house,
mm-hmm.
and the mom said, you better not be playing those devil games again. What are devil games?
I think anything that's not okay. Devil games. It's not like a specific thing.
I don't know. Like, I wanted to know what devil games are.
I mean, devil games would be anything that's not allowed. Those are all devil games.
Okay.
I want to know what specific devil game they were playing.
Me too.
Like, I want to know what it is that got her chained
up
by the neck.
Like, are we talking about the incest? Are we talking about a Ouija board? Are we talking about Uno?
It could have been literally them
Any
rolling
of those
a
things.
Ball back and forth.
Devil's games.
Devil's games.
Wow.
That's played wild. A lot of Devil's Games
growing up. Yeah.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm pretty sure it's accurate. But I'm
pretty sure I played them.
Yeah, pretty sure it's very accurate. Man. Yes, excellent points. So we get there. Amanda gets caught in the house.
Oops.
They pull the guns on her. The older creepy son with the long hair pulls a gun on her.
Yeah.
And she backs out and leaves and calls for reinforcements. And all of a sudden, it's a hostage situation.
Yep.
There were a lot of questions about how we got from this to hostage situation.
Yeah, I thought that happened really fast.
I think so, too, because it didn't feel like he was holding them hostage. Like, they said we threw up a phone for him, and he didn't take it. Of course not. He doesn't have demands. He just... It's him and his family.
Yeah.
There are no demands here.
And he's not going to use a phone. It's technology. That's true. He doesn't know anything.
That is true. Before we get into the shootout, let's talk about technology.
Let's do it. You guys can utilize technology in a good way. Unlike, you know, the ways that these people are saying, I guess. Do you guys want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of life? For those of you who do, we have got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you have always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us, the SVU After Show, who sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good use of technology.
Very good use of it.
As is this show.
Heck yeah, guys.
Great use of technology.
How could they say that it's bad when the SVU After Show is on it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're at this shootout. The mom and... So the sniper people... Well, back it up. All right, so... Benson is trying to use the megaphone. They ignore.
I ship Olivia in a megaphone, by the way. I think she needs to use it more.
I do. I liked that Rollins was like, screw this line we're supposed to all be behind. Just wanders up.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, with Ed is like talking about Esther, just wants to see that she's fine, gets him to come out. And then nothing happens, and he goes back in. Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Why did we think otherwise?
Yeah, because you got him out. That is how it happens.
Right. Like, you thought that because you got him to come out and show you Esther.
He's just going to stay there.
Right.
He's just going to make himself a target. It's like perfectly reasonable.
You literally were like, show us she's okay. He's like, she's fine.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Toodaloo.
Yeah, like you didn't ask for anything else. So then the SWAT team throws in a smoke bomb. The mom and some babies come running out.
Yes.
And then... the sons, and I guess Esther, because if you looked at when we saw the family at bowling, Esther was the oldest, and then it was a bunch of sons, and then the mom and babies.
Yeah.
So it was all the sons and Esther, so it felt like everyone over, let's say, 14 was left in the house.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then the moms, the sons are shooting with the guns, the cops are shooting back. So when Rollins is shooting with her little gun, my only thought was, at that distance, you are shooting at the grass. Like, there's no way that gun is touching even the house.
Yeah.
That was, but saying this, I do not know guns.
I don't either.
Gonna be real clear.
Just I didn't in my question head. It, but
I did. It was a teeny gun. I was like, there's, the distance here does not make sense to me. Yeah. But maybe I don't know guns. And by maybe, I mean I really don't.
I really don't.
Yeah. So then... I was like, okay, so not only is she not even hitting the house, she's wasting bullets. I was like, this is dumb. Like, Rollins, put the gun away. Let the professionals with the sniper rifles do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You would think, but it's Rollins. She's not going to just sit back. Come on.
Yeah. So then, once all the sons are dead, except for one, the father comes out and drops all the guns and surrenders. I definitely expect him to say something.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, oh, okay. I thought he was going to throw a white towel or something, you know? Like, this actual surrender. Yeah. I was, like, really looking forward to that. I don't know why.
He threw all the guns. I like that he threw one gun, and then he threw, like, three more. And I was like, okay.
Bye-bye.
One of them should have gone off.
Oh, that would have made things...
That would have been funny.
Spiced it up.
So they go in. There's one son hiding under the table. And
Esther... They just come out of nowhere, these kids.
Yeah.
They just kept opening stuff and they were like,
oh, yeah, there was another one in the closet. I forgot about that one.
It just felt like that was a really long montage. And, like, we saw them earlier at bowling, but I was like, whoa, there's so many.
I felt like at bowling there were however many. And then when they were in the house, there were much more than that. That's what it felt like, was they were like...
Yeah, it did. It, they felt like there was more.
Doesn't matter that, like, seven of them already left. Let's find more.
They're everywhere.
That sounds like a nightmare. So they see that Esther is dead. One shot in the head.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Okay. So then the mom... In interrogation is like, I wanted to leave, but it just kept getting worse.
Well, okay, rewinding just yes, a little bit.
Absolutely.
So that the moment where the dad's like, you killed my children, and for what? Felt like the end of the episode to me. At first, I was like, ooh, they're gonna like roll the credits. So I was like, oh, we have 10 minutes left. So I was like, what are they gonna do with these 10 minutes?
Uh-huh.
And then we get where you are. I don't know. It just felt like that could have been an ending, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they wanted it to be a different vibe, I guess.
I guess. I agree that I really wanted someone to be like, no, you killed like your kid.
You literally killed your own children, yeah,
you,
basically.
You gave them guns and had them shoot at police.
Yeah.
You killed them.
Exactly.
Anyway, so then the mom reveals that she wanted to leave earlier, but it just kept getting worse.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know that that's, like, I wanted to leave when it started to get bad, but that I didn't because it got worse. Because
I had to protect them. You know what you could have done?
Take them and leave.
Taking them away.
You call Alex.
Exactly. Can you guys not watch some calls fell asleep?
No. Obviously she couldn't because they don't have TV.
This is... Unless it's for the news.
Right. Unless it was on the news. So silly. Okay. So then the big twist of the episode, or at least what you're calling a big twist.
I thought it was wild.
The bullet that killed Esther.
Came from Rollins' gun.
Yep.
Shook.
Accurate use of that word.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so Amanda through this episode was the Amanda that we know.
Mm-hmm.
This is Amanda. Like, this I'm okay with.
Yes.
The Amanda with the hookers, I was like, what is wrong with
we
you?
Don't, we're not going to talk about it. We're going to pretend that didn't happen. And we're going to pretend Dana Lewis isn't a murderer. Great. We're going to pretend those two things, they didn't happen.
That's it? Those are the only two things?
Well, those are the primary two things.
All right. I liked seeing this story for Amanda. Halfway through, I went, are we trying to get her an Emmy? Like,
I'm here for it.
Is that the plan? Because Mariska has one, so now
yeah.
Kelly gets one.
Cute. Twin with them. I love that.
But that's what it felt like. It felt like a Rollins-centric episode.
Mm-hmm.
And her dealing with it felt very in character. I really loved that Noah and Jesse were not brought up or mentioned or seen.
Oh, that's a good point.
I loved that.
Yeah, because it's just like almost repetitive when you do that. Every episode where there's a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I also loved that there was no Stone.
Yeah, there was no Stone.
Which was surprising because I feel like he should have come in the middle, like between when Amanda was like, I need a day off to investigate. Yeah. Like, he should have been like, so what's going on with this case? And mm-hmm. they should have been like, oh, she's 27 or whatever. Like, yeah. we can't, there's nothing we can charge her with, blah, blah, blah. That's where he would have fit in.
Right.
And I would have been okay with it because he would have been like, thanks for letting me know. And then left and took his shirt off.
Bye bye.
Right? That's what he does?
That's all he does.
That's all he's useful for? Thank you. Great. Any final thoughts in this episode before I tell you about the story it was based on?
I don't know. This is just random, but I felt like this was a big mashup of other episodes almost.
Oh.
Like, someone in the chat, I forget who it was, but I had the same thought. It reminded them of Charisma, you know, with the cult leader guy.
Oh, yeah.
And the pregnant girl. Such a good episode, by the
way. Great episode.
It reminded me of that one. Merchandise, like I already said. A little bit, the one where they're all living on the street with Mae Whitman, and they're all like super hungry.
I love that episode.
Yeah, it's an underrated one. Mm-hmm. It reminded me a little bit of that.
There was a moment where they when they went bowling where I think Carisi says they look like they should have a reality show, and it reminded me of that family from the reality show episode that was based not on the Duggars.
Yeah, it felt like they pulled a lot of like storylines from other ones, but I was okay with it because it still felt pretty fresh.
Yes, it did feel like a newer take on it, mm-hmm. whereas we've definitely had episodes where I went, yeah, we've done this.
Yeah, it wasn't just like a clone.
Right. There were parts that I liked, there were parts that I didn't. I was disappointed that it wasn't crazier.
I agree. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, this is good, mm-hmm. but it's not like SVU crazy.
It's not I'm your music teacher who also slept with your mother.
It's not Bring in the Clouds.
Who is your father.
That's what I find myself judging every episode this season against is Send in the Clowns.
Well, cause like the thing is the whole episode, I was like boring. And then we get to the last minute and I go, twist.
Such an insane one.
Yeah. So I want that. Like I would have wanted, oh my God, the incest is her brother. Oh, it's the little brother. Oh, the baby is his and hers. Like
the mom works at Apple.
Yes. Like crazy weird stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree.
Okay. I'd like to tell you about the case that this is based
on. Please do, because I don't really know about it.
Okay, so the name of this case was actually dropped in the episode. Carisi says, it's like the Turpin family in California. Yes, it is in fact stolen.
It literally is.
Which is similar to the episode that they had that was not the Chris Brown Rihanna episode, where his name was Caleb Bryant, not Chris Brown.
I cannot. I didn't even realize they did that.
Oh, yeah. And they went, they should go on a double date with Chris Brown and Rihanna. Yeah, we get it. You guys are clarifying that this is not that case.
So on the nose.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. So the Turpin case is alleged child abuse in captivity, and it was discovered January of this year.
Okay.
In Paris, Perris, California. David Allen Turpin and his wife Louise Ann allegedly imprisoned their 13 children for years or even decades. On January 14th of this year, one of the children escaped and contacted police, who entered the home and found some of the children in a dark, foul-smelling room. The couple allegedly shackled, beat, and strangled their children, allowing them to eat once per day and shower just once per year. The siblings ranged in age from 2 to 29. With 7 of the 13 children being over 18 at the time of the parents' arrest. According to investigators, the older ones were so malnourished that they appeared to be younger. The eldest, a 29-year-old woman, weighed 82 pounds. 82 Whoa. Pounds. And she looked like she was 13. That's me editorializing. Some of the siblings appeared to lack basic knowledge of the world, being unfamiliar with medicine, with what medicine and police were.
Oh.
The couple was arrested and detained, but pled not guilty to all the charges. That's silly. So I want to read about the escape. The children had been planning an escape for more than 2 years. On January 14th, two of them left the house through a window. One returned out of fear, but the 17-year-old daughter got away. She was in possession of a cell phone, and though deactivated, she was able to call 911. When the police met her, she showed officers photos of the condition at home, and deputies in the Riverside County, that's so close to here, they converged on the house. They found 12 siblings, one of whom, 22, was shackled to a bed with chains. They suspected that an additional 2 had also been shackled just prior to their entry. They described the siblings as having malnourished and dirty appearance, looking younger than their ages. They initially assumed that the entire group were minors, and later determined that 7 were adults.
Whoa.
So crazy. So then also, there's a thing about their houses. So the other thing that's interesting about this family is that they would take them out every few years, every once a year, and go on trips with matching shirts like the sweatshirts in this episode. So for example, they went to Disneyland, and so there's a photo of them at Disneyland with the matching shirts. And then the weird part were the renewal of vows that the parents did.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this.
So they would go to Vegas at the same church in Vegas with the same Elvis impersonator and renew their vows. And they did it a few times. And their pictures, so let me read what it says about their friends and family. So they put pictures on Facebook. So you thought that they were one big happy family, says the woman's aunt. And that they would put them in all these matching outfits for their parents' vow renewal. And they'd have like a really good time. And it was like their one time out.
That's so crazy. Insane.
So crazy. And they would, so the other thing that was mentioned this episode very little bit is that they'd walk around the apartment at night with all the lights on. And so the Turpin family would do this where like they would be up all night learning or chanting or marching around, you know, doing chores, obviously not cleaning, but chores. And then they would like go out and mow the lawn in the middle of the night and like do weird things.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Crazy. So look up the Turpin case, T-U-R-P-I-N.
Whoa.
All the information I've given to you is from Wikipedia.
That's so crazy.
Take that as it is.
Someone in the comments, Kimmy Sylvester, said the 17-year-old daughter had a YouTube channel up under a different name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm going to have to look into that because that's insane.
That's very surprising. Okay. You have some Twitter polls and then guys, we're going to get to the news.
Our fun special segment. Always have the Twitter polls.
Yeah.
So we have a regular poll, and then I was like, listen, I have to ask more questions. And then we have a bonus poll after.
So
my
funny.
Regular poll is, what is your favorite Rollins-centric episode? So I can only put four options on Twitter, obviously. But if yours is not one of the options, leave it in the comments, because I want to know. Book of Esther, which is obviously tonight's pretty great Rollins-centric episode. Gambler's Fallacy,
yep.
Which is our it's our favorite.
Gambler's Fallacy is one of the best episodes.
It's the one where she goes undercover
she gets caught at a gambler's.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then she's forced to work undercover.
Right.
For Declan Murphy. It's the first time we meet Donald Logue's character, Declan Murphy, who later becomes the father of her child.
Yes. And Sherry Song from the Fosters is in that too.
She's yes.
So wonderful.
She's
amazing.
She's pregnant in that
She's
one.
Very pregnant in that one.
Is she really pregnant in that one?
Mm-hmm.
That was real prego.
Yes.
Gross.
Real prego.
Go on.
Deadly Ambition, which is the one where she shoots her little sister's boyfriend.
Oh, the one where Kim sets them up because she wants the insurance money and then is like, no, he wasn't trying to rape me because he couldn't have been committing a crime. No, she was in on it and she tried to do it. No, it was all my idea. I'm going to go.
Lots of twists.
Yeah, that one.
Lots of terrible Kim.
Kim.
I love Kim. She just stirs up the messiest stuff.
Yeah, you love mess.
I love mess.
Ugh, Kim.
Kim is crazy. And then, speaking of messy families, my other option is Maternal Instinct, where her mom comes back and it has one of my favorite lines, and it's like Olivia's trying to tell her to like relax or something when they're like having some weird picnic in the park or something.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, do you think I'm just going to shoot my mom in the middle of the park or something? It was so funny. I'm going to have to go watch that moment again because...
Yeah, that is also classic. A good one. That's when Kim returns.
Yep.
That one has the hot guy from The 100 in it. I don't know his character.
The hot guy from The 100.
He's not in this season anymore. Zach McGowan, I believe is the actor's name. He's the naked flautist. That's how the episode starts, is that he's a flautist and he's walking around naked and he rapes one of his backup flautists. I don't know who she is to him. And so Kim stole the flute.
Yes.
Flautists are people who play flutes. I learned that from this episode.
Great job.
Yeah, great. Yeah, good episodes.
Yeah, and then someone else said Forgiving Rollins, which is the one where we find out what happened.
She was raped by her captain.
Which is also a really good one, but I only had four slots, so I picked my four faves.
At Gambler's Fallacy is the best one.
It is the best one, for sure. Yep. But the other ones are very commendable.
They're fine.
Bonus poll, which we touched on a little bit already.
Yes.
Favorite minor character in this episode. There were so many just randos that I loved so much. Sassy Train Employee, I think, gets my vote. Really love Sassy Train Employee with the Australian Jersey accent.
Okay.
The really deep-voiced store clerk was like,
jacket.
I didn't make a purchase. I don't know. Or I didn't make a sale. Whatever.
Yeah.
Good character.
Okay.
Nosy male lady.
I love the nosy male lady.
Nosy male lady.
That's
great.
A felony.
Come on inside.
Let me show you.
And then we also had just a little little tiny glimpse of her at the beginning, but the concerned dog walker when she was escaping, I was like, oh my god, it's the dog walker, like one of my favorite tropes. She didn't really play a big part, but I just like that she
there's a dog. Yep.
There's going to be a crime. Yep. If there's a dog walker, it's going to be a crime.
Thank you so much. Great polls.
Yeah, guys, go vote.
And we'll tell you where to find those. I also have news. Woo! AfterBuzz TV News. Diane Neal, who we all know as Casey Novak, according to this picture, she's back to a redhead, but this is also an old picture show. Who knows?
That's the news.
Yeah, she's either a redhead or a blonde. No, the news is that she is seeking a role as a representative for of a congressional district in upstate New York.
Yes. And I follow her on Twitter and I see, I don't know if she's doing it anymore, but I know that she had like a meeting a couple weeks ago if you wanted to like go hear her ideas and platforms and stuff. Like, she's actually really, really serious about it.
Oh, yeah.
So if you live in like her district or near her, listen to her ideas because maybe she's like our next great leader.
Possibly, especially because we know how she gives a great speech in a courtroom.
Exactly.
And she's running as an independent.
Okay.
Interesting.
Interesting.
So she has lived, let's see what this says. She launched her campaign Wednesday, that was yesterday, for the 19th congressional district. She's lived there for 4 years and announced her independent candidacy in February. But the campaign has been launched. That's her news. So vote Casey Novak. I really hope, like, her signs are, like, written in Law and Order font. Like, she really should use what she's got.
Agreed. Like, is it professional? Like, no, but politics aren't anymore, so it's fine.
Fair point. Okay, with that note, we should head into predictions! Woo! Yay, flashy now, lights. You're after Buzz TV. Predictions. Okay, so, in the promo for next week, all we basically know is Finn goes back to the streets where he came from. Predictions?
I don't know, because they didn't, like, give us anything to really go off of.
It's just a Finn-centric episode, yeah. Which is great, but what's it about? And also,
I don't know.
It used to be, in the old days, that if there was, like, a woman who was addicted to drugs, that, like, was Finn would get involved, mm-hmm. You know? And so, if that's what it is, then, you know, we've seen it.
Well, I don't know. This is probably, like, not gonna happen. But I want, if it's gonna be a Finn-centric episode, let's, like, really go in hard and let's bring his son back.
Yeah!
Like, I don't know. That's my hopeful prediction, is that we see some of him.
That we see Ken?
Yeah.
I doubt we'll see Ken.
I do too, but you know what? The girl could dream.
I think that next episode will hopefully be interesting. I feel like it's going to be more on an emotional side than a, like, crazy story SVU twisty side.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I prefer the crazy twisty.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes the promos are really misleading, though. Like, we were so pumped for this one, and it was, like, it was solid, but it wasn't, like, my favorite episode ever. Mm. Maybe since next week looks really generic, it'll be really, really awesome. Great.
I hope so.
Me, too.
I'm looking forward to next week for sure. Same. I love this show.
So good.
I find a way to bring it up all the time.
It's so weird. Easy. It's like weird. There's so many situations.
It's messed up. And you're welcome. But where can people find you and the polls?
You guys can find me on Twitter at @Alphaba_Anne, on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. I also host the 100 after show every Tuesday at 11 o'clock, which is a little late, but you can always watch it the next day. And I also host the Rise after show at 9 o'clock, which is a little bit of a more reasonable time.
Only a little bit.
Just a little.
I'm Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's YaelTygiel. And you can find me here. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Dun, dun.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.